The words of God given to us today are the Acts chapter 14, verse 1-7. It's on page 212 of the New Testament. Allow me to read. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the good news. Amen. During the past 25 weeks, we have examined in detail how Paul's party, which had set out for Perga, Pamphylia from Cyprus Island by ship, passed by Perga and went on to Pisidian Antioch, which was at a high altitude, risking their lives to cross over the rough peaks of Mount Taurus. And what happened to Paul once he got to Pisidian Antioch, where he stayed at a minimum several months, and by whom and why Paul was expelled from Pisidian Antioch? Paul and Barnabas, chased away from Pisidian Antioch, went on to Iconium. In order to get to Iconium, which is about 180 kilometers away from Pisidian Antioch, in the southeast direction, about 30 mountains had to be crossed over. Even if the Roman Empire had made roads through these mountains, it was probably a very difficult thing to journey over 30 mountains by foot 2,000 years ago. The reason that Paul went on this very difficult journey was very simple. It was the nearest city from Pisidian Antioch, from where he was expelled. Iconium, where Paul went by walking on such rough roads, is now called as Konya in modern-day Turkey and Islam country. Now, leaving aside the modern section of the city where 600,000 people live, even in the old section of the city where 300,000 people reside, the traces of Apostle Paul is nowhere to be found. Next to a dreary-looking public cemetery where the tombstones are so old and dilapidated that writings on them could hardly be read, in an out-of-the-way place of the old section of the city, one finds St. Helena Cathedral that Constantine built in 327 AD for his mother Helena, who was a devoted Christian. However, the cathedral was neglected for over 1,000 years and in the land of Islam, and its inside is in ruins as if it has been bombed. It actually reminds one of a disposition site at a construction. At Konya, which was at one time the capital for Seljuk Turks, there is Aladdin Mosque, which was very famous. Aladdin Mosque is made up of 42 round columns, and these columns were all taken from the buildings of Roman Empire that Seljuk Turks conquered. Except for those columns, there is no other trace of Iconium. Now, Iconium, which Paul visited, was at one time called the Iconium of Claudius. In other words, it was important. It was a city important enough to be called the city of the emperor. The reason was that it was at the center of transportation in Asia Minor. And in terms of military importance, it surpassed that of Pisidian Antioch. That we can easily imagine, since it was such an important city, there must have been many imposing buildings that boasted of the splendor of the emperor. But after 1,000 years, all those buildings have disappeared. And if there is an exception, they are the 42 round columns that remain to this day as the columns of Aladdin Mosque. Among these 42 columns, maybe one or two of them may have been the ones that Apostle Paul saw with his eyes when he visited Iconium. The message that Christians can gain at Iconium of today's text, in other words, the Konya of modern-day Turkey, is that if things that can be seen with eyes are made into life purpose, the result is that the life ends in ruins and emptiness without fail. Whether 2,000 years ago or today, what Christians must seek after are the things that cannot be seen with eyes. It is only those who seek after things which cannot be seen who can transcend the ruins and emptiness of this world. Now let's look at today's text to see what Paul and Barnabas sought after when they came to Iconium. At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. The text begins, "At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas." But the word kata to auto, which has been translated as together in Korean language, also means as usual. As Paul usually went to a Jewish synagogue first to preach the gospel, no matter where he went, when Paul went to Iconium, he also went to a Jewish synagogue first and preached the gospel. And as a result, a great number of Jews and Gentiles believed. Now, there are indigenous religions that have their origin in Korean Peninsula, where we live, but these religions only have a shell of a religion and do not contain true aspects as a religion. Although they originated from Korea, they are completely shunned by Koreans. The reason that these religions that are indigenous to Korea do not have any influence, even on Koreans who speak Korean language, is because these religions lack universality. 2,000 years ago, the Greeks and the Jews lived under a single roof called the Roman Empire, but they were completely different people in terms of language, culture, custom, tradition, and the ways of thinking. There was not a thing that was the same for them. In particular, the Jews believed in one God, and the Greeks, who believed in many gods, were at extreme opposites from one another in terms of religion. Given such polar differences, that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed in the gospel preached by Paul tells us about the cosmic nature of the gospel, in other words, the universality of the gospel. the Word of God, which created all things in the universe and all people of all nations, has universality that transcends color of skin, nationality, or birthplaces. And it's only a very natural that this be the case. And it is because of God's words have universality that they work even among us who are living in the Far East, at Korea, as words of life. So, here is the reason that only a universal church, which can embrace everyone transcending gender, status, and riches without any discrimination, can be a true church. Let us look at verse 2. But the Jews who rejected to believe stirred up Gentiles and poisoned their minds against their brothers. The great number of Jews and Gentiles believed in the gospel that Paul preached, but it was not the case that all Jews and Gentiles believed. There were some Jews who rejected the gospel. They did not stop with just rejecting the words of God, but they incited the Gentiles, who were greater in number, to become hostile towards Paul and the people of Iconium who accepted the gospel from Paul. And from this, we can realize two very important lessons. The first is the judgmental aspect of the gospel. Some time ago, a person who was riding in a car scattered banknotes downtown, and people walking the streets scrambled to pick up the notes. Now, all these pedestrians were very dignified people who were walking on the sidewalks, but once they saw the flying bills, they started to bicker and fight with one another, throwing their dignity away in order to pick up more notes. And of course, among them, there were some who simply watched the scene as it unfolded. Now, before that money was scattered, everyone appeared to be alike. There didn't seem to be any difference. But suddenly, once the banknotes started flying in the air, the crowd became clearly divided among those who tried to pick up the notes and those who stood by and watched. Now, this fact, this difference, could not be ascertained before the banknotes started flying in the air. This is exactly the same for the gospel. In Pisidian Antioch and in Iconium, before the gospel was preached, everyone who lived there appeared to be alike. But once the gospel was preached, before the gospel, the people became clearly divided into those who accepted the gospel, the people of the faith, and those who rejected the gospel, the people who were not faithful. According to Acts chapter 13, verse 46, borrowing the words from this verse, before the word of God, people were clearly classified into those who were chosen to have eternal life and those who were not. This is the judgmental aspect of the gospel. And thus, the judgment of the gospel goes beyond the reason and judgment of human beings. Now, from outside, a person may look very ethical and someone who pursues after the truth, but they very stubbornly reject the gospel. On the other hand, there are burglars, robbers, and murderers who do not appear ethical at all from the outside, but who look up indifferent to the truth, accept the gospel, God's words, and believe in the gospel. Therefore, And here, we stand here as the persons who accepted the gospel and are Christians who believed in the gospel. Now, is this because of the efforts that we made? That is not the case. The fact that we stand here as the Christians is due to the unilateral grace of the Lord who have saved us. And so, as Christians, we can only offer our praise and glory only to God. The second lesson that we can gain from today's text is that the stories of the Bible are always repeated regardless of time and place. The stories of the Bible did not end 2,000 years ago as its recording stopped. All of the stories in the Bible were repeated in the history of time. That was the case 2,000 years ago, and it is the case today. And it will be true until the day the Lord comes. All of the stories will endlessly be repeated on this earth. So what is really important is that as individuals, we choose how we live within these stories that becomes repeated again and again throughout history. In the way that the God renewed the history through Apostle Paul, who, you know, refused to abandon pursuit of God's words, despite all of the persecutions and oppositions he ran into. If we are true to God's words, God will do the same through our lives. Let us look at verse 3 again. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to do miraculous signs and wonders. Apostle Paul, without giving any regard to the people who were persecuting him and who incited others to expel them from Pisidian Antioch, preached the words of the gospel. And the Lord showed through them that he was with them through the miraculous events that unfolded. The reason that Apostle Paul did not give up living as the witnesses of the Lord is because the Lord himself showed him that he was with them. In other words, to put it very simply, the best way to confirm the Lord is being, Lord is with us, is to live as the Lord's witnesses. Let us think about this for a moment. If we throw ourselves on God's words to live as the Lord's witnesses, but Lord does not do anything for us, then wouldn't such a God be same as a wooden statue? And what need would there be, what value would there be for us to believe in such a God? If someone says, I believed in God all my life, but I have not realized, I was not able to confirm even once that God was with me, then the person is testifying that he had not thrown himself completely on God's words even once. It is only those who have thrown themselves completely on God's words can continue to do so because of that reason. Let us take a look at verse 4. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. As Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel, there were people who rejected the gospel and persecuted Paul and Barnabas, and those who accepted the gospel and took sides with Apostle Paul and Barnabas, and they became divided more clearly. The Jews who persecuted Paul and Barnabas decide to turn to the last measure. Let us take a look at verse 5. There was a plot afoot among the Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. Now the Jews and Gentiles were incited by the Jews who were opposed to Apostle Paul, coaxed even the government leaders into the attempt to stone Paul and Barnabas to death. That they tried to stone Paul and Barnabas legally by involving the government officials, we can easily imagine that how badly they have slandered Paul and Barnabas to these government leaders and to other people. Let's look at verse 6 to 7. But they found out about it and fled to Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe and to the surrounding country. Paul and Barnabas had no option but to escape from Iconium, and they went to Lystra and Derbe and preached the gospel. After all, if the Jews did not incite the Gentiles and attracted their government leaders to try to stone Paul and Barnabas to death, Paul would not have any reason to have visited Lystra and Derbe. Because of the persecution and attempt to kill Paul and Barnabas, it forced Paul and Barnabas to head to Lystra. Here, we can see and we can confirm the mysterious providence of God. Now, we will examine this in more detail next week. But because Paul went to Lystra, he was able to heal a person who was born crippled in his feet. Because the Jewish party tried to commit the evil act of stoning Paul at Iconium, this person who was handicapped in his feet were able to experience the healing work of God. But the mysterious providence of God did not end here. Because Paul went to Lystra at this time, he was later able to meet Timothy, whom he relied on greatly towards the end of his life, and who was like his spiritual son. And this is not all. About 25 weeks ago, we saw how Apostle Paul, who contracted the endemic disease at Perga, went over the rough peaks of Mount Taurus and went to Pisidian Antioch, which was in Galatia, who was able to go to the land of Galatians, and because of this, the Galatians in the New Testament was written. Now, this Galatians was a letter that Paul wrote to the Christians who are living there later. That we have said that Galatians is the Magna Carta of the Christianity that declares freedom from the fetters of law and judgment. Five 500 years ago, we have said that Martin Luther, through this Magna Carta of faith, Magna Carta of freedom, Galatians, he was able to gain freedom from the corrupt Catholic Church and all of the paradoxes, all of the fetters of the Catholic Church, and he was able to embark on Reformation. To say more precisely, God, in order to give us the great Magna Carta of freedom, Galatians, to us, he had led Paul, who contracted the endemic disease at Perga, to cross over the Taurus mountain, risking his life, and go to Pisidian Antioch, which had the completely different environmental conditions from Perga. And this was the same at Lystra. Now, because Paul went to Lystra and met Timothy, the book of Timothy was able to be recorded in the New Testament. Now, this Timothy, the book of Timothy, was a book that Paul wrote to Timothy as he was pastoring the church of Ephesus, and it gives the guidance on right pastoring, and it is called the pastoral letters of Paul. Particularly before Paul died by beheading, he wrote 2 Timothy, which was the final letter that he wrote as he contemplated his death. And the second book of Timothy can be seen as the last will and testament of Paul. So therefore, through 2 Timothy, each one of us who formed a church is able to learn how we could rightly establish and maintain the church, which is the body of the Lord, and with what heart we should keep our faith until we die. So God, in order to give a second book of Timothy to us who's living in this 21st century, acted so that using the evil acts of Jewish parties who rejected the gospel at Iconium 2,000 years ago, led Paul to go to Lystra and work to accomplish all of this without one inch of error. Now, even after Iconium and Lystra, Paul's life was full of suffering due to unceasing persecution and threats of death. But all of these difficulties, all of these challenges that was beyond the imagination of men, were just mere mysterious instruments of God that fulfilled God's providence. And so Paul willingly submitted himself to the hands of God's mysterious providence. He knew very well that for a man who is just a mere creature, there is no more precious life than being used as the instrument of God's mysterious providence. Dear brothers and sisters, do not be afraid that you receive persecutions, that you receive unfair treatment, that you are put into a trial because you faithfully pursue God's words. It is at that very moment when your life seems to be breaking apart that God's mysterious providence is being fulfilled through your life. So let us with courage throw ourselves on God's words. When we do that, through such life, God can work to save someone, and through the traces of our lives, even 100 years later, he can regenerate the later age. So therefore, the life of a person who pursues after God's word, that life itself becomes the mystery of God. How can there be a more mysterious thing than the life of a man whose daily life degenerates, becomes sublimated into the instrument of God's mysterious providence? This is the wisdom of faith and maturity of faith, because it is only those who know this who is able to throw themselves on the words of God. Let us pray. We thank you, Almighty God, the Creator of the universe and all peoples, for sending us, people living in the Far East region, your message for understanding and realization of your will. Thank you for letting us stand here and not reject your message and display disbelief, but that we are able to accept and show faith to once again ensure that you have chosen us for eternal life. Allow us to become your witnesses who have come to us, and allow us to live with joy coming from our life walking with you. Let us not fear the moments when we are accused of and experience difficulties or suffer disadvantages just because we live a life faith to your words. Even at the very difficult moments when we think that our life is taking a turn that we had not anticipated, allow us to remember that it is in the moments of these difficulties that your miracles will work. Let us always remember that our lives faithful to your words is a miracle of yours. As Paul, who existed 1,000 years ago, still affect our lives, let our lives go beyond time and space to renew other people and open new eras. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.